Hi, everybody. My name is Seth Hardy. I'm also with Citizen Lab from the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. I'm going to be talking on behalf of our team from Citizen Lab and Stony Brook University on Targeted Threat Index, which is a way of characterizing and quantifying politically motivated malware. So the problem is that civil society organizations face many types of persistent targeted attacks. So these are the APTs that everybody's always talking about. Targeted malware attacks are of particular concern because these civil society organizations don't have the resources, they don't have the budgets, they don't have the time, they don't have the technical knowledge to defend themselves adequately against these targeted attacks. So what we're doing is Citizen Lab has been working on an ongoing study of targeted attacks against human rights and civil society organizations. We're in the fourth year of the study right now. We have 10 civil society organizations as participants. And what we're doing is we're looking at technical analysis, so looking at email attacks, setting up network intrusion detection systems, combining that with interviews and fieldwork to understand the threat model and the types of attacks that they're actually seeing. So in this talk, I'm going to be looking at email attachments and links sent to these participating organizations. The way that we get these samples is that the organizations will forward them on to us once they've identified them. So there is some bias here because they have to be self-identified. For the intrusion detection systems, that's optional. We can use that to correlate attacks and compromises later on, but here we're just looking at the emails. And just to say that everything that we're doing is IRB approved, and all of the organizations that are participating know what we're doing, and they have agreed to it and welcomed us in to look at their information. So the 10 organizations that we have, most of them are very small organizations with between 1 to 20 people. Sometimes it's just a handful of people without an actual office. They're all working from their homes on their personal computers. We do have two rights groups that are large organizations. Other than that, most of the participants in our study are either Tibetan activists or working on issues related to China. So we have a very, very deep view into attacks in the Tibetan community in particular. And the attacks look like this. So they're emails that are trying to dupe the recipient into opening a document or clicking on a link. And the way they do this is through social engineering. So they'll send an email with some sort of a hook, content that's relevant to the recipient, and just try to get you to run malware and then just compromise you and start reading your keystrokes and your email and all that from there. To get an idea of the number of samples we've looked at, we're definitely not an AV company. We're not seeing billions of emails every week. Some organizations are a lot more forthcoming with everything that they've ever got that's nasty. So there's one Tibetan group in particular that sends us everything all the time. Often they'll get the same email hitting multiple people in their organization. So here are the numbers on the total number of samples submitted from each organization, and in the rest of the presentation we're going to be looking at the groups that had 50 or more submissions. And these are those organizations with their submissions split down into types. So whether it's a malware attachment, those are the red bars, those are the predominant ones in most of the cases, but we are also looking at phishing attempts and links to malware hosted elsewhere. So you can see with the Tibetan groups, it is almost exclusively malware attachments, and the other groups have a different combination of the attacks with more phishing involved as well. So this data raises some questions. We want to know how sophisticated these targeted attacks are, and that can mean a couple of things. So one question is, how well are the participants being targeted? You know, are the attackers doing their research on the social engineering techniques? Are they looking at the individual hooks for the recipients, or are they just blasting them out? We're also wondering how technically advanced is the malware? And these questions bring up a related question: are the attacks getting better over time? If they're not working, do they ramp up both the targeting and the technical sophistication of the attacks? So to measure this, we came up with the Targeted Threat Index. It's a metric just as a way to give a value between 1 to 10 for a sample to prioritize analysis and triage and determine how severe specific threats are. So we can also look at trends in attacks sent to individual organizations and in general. This was based on the CVSS system by FIRST, and it's calculated in two parts. So there's a social engineering sophistication base value, and then that is multiplied by a technical sophistication value, and the end result is the overall TTI score. So for the base value, this goes from 0, which is not targeted, all the way up to 5, which is targeted and highly personalized. This is a pretty big wall of text, so what I'm going to do is just walk you through examples of each one. But before that, just to note, we're also doing content coding on the subject and bodies of the emails that come in. So we have multiple reviewers look at the emails and then tag them based on a number of themes, as well as identifying features such as whether the person referenced in the email that claims to come from is a real person, real organization. So we have multiple people look at these emails, and then we make sure that the content coding and the base value match and iron out any differences there, but we never had any problem with this. So base value of 1. So a 0, just to point out, if you got spam, that would be a 0. It's trying to get you to open something bad, maybe, but if it's not a targeted attack, we just give it a 0. A 1 looks like this. It's not particularly convincing in any way. So there's no customization to this whatsoever for the recipient. So the sort of tags that this would get is, you know, miscellaneous, no match on sender, and we don't know what FTC 2008 Paris is. For a 2, there's a little more customization. So there's a from name. There is content that is directly relevant to the recipient. In this case, self-immolation information sent to Tibetans. But there's still no match on the sender or the name, so there's no background information on why the recipient would want to open this in particular. Going up to a 3, there's more customization. So you can see that the name and organization in the from field and in the signature is a real organization that is known to the recipient, and the person that it claims to come from is a real person at that organization, and the documents attached are relevant to that organization and to the recipient, so it's a lot more likely that it will be opened. Getting even better at 4, this is now personalized. So this is claiming to be from Cheng Li at the Brookings Institution. It is directly referencing the Tibetan New Year, so there is awareness of what's going on in the recipient's world. And the most interesting thing is if you look at the email address, chengli.brookings@aol.com, probably not Cheng Li's actual email address, because if you're working at an institution like Brookings, you're probably not stuck on AOL. But this is a real person and is well known in that community, so this lends a lot of credibility to the message. And for the 5 out of 5 on the base targeting score, can't even show it to you. A 5 gives you, it means that there was some sort of inside information used that is directly from the recipient in order to convince them that the email is legitimate. In this case, we had just a handful of 5s. One was a message to a Chinese group claiming to be from a funder and talking about an actual meeting that was happening. So somebody else must have been compromised or some other method used to find out this inside information. Looking at the TTI base values, we can see that there is actually a decent amount of work put into many of them to try to customize it. There are some that are, you know, not so great in the 1 and 2 range, but there are quite a few 3, and then it drops off quite a bit from there. But if you do look at the 5s, they do exist for all of the organizations that sent us 50 or more emails. For the multiplier, we go from 1 up to 2 in quarter increments. Because all of the malware functionality is generally the same, they're just sending you a rat to monitor your keystrokes and be able to log into all of your accounts and take screenshots and turn on the microphone and turn on your webcam. We're looking at the technical sophistication of the protection techniques on the malware as well as the malware's functionality itself. So a 1, so it keeps your multiplier the same. It has no anti-reversing or obfuscation tricks. And then if you have minor protection methods, it stays at 1.25, multiple miners, 1.5. And then it gets into the really fancy stuff like custom virtualized packers at 1.75 and up to 2. 2s are reserved specifically for malware that comes from professional software engineering teams such as FinFisher coming from Gamma or RCS from Hacking Team. For the analysis, what we do is we start by looking at the files, and this is using mostly just hex editors and a lot of experience. A large majority of the documents that we get as these attachments are RTFs that are designed to exploit Word using CVE 2010-3333 and 2012-0158. So when you see enough of these, it's pretty easy to just open it up in a hex editor and look at it and know exactly what's going on. For the binaries, we do static analysis with IDA and hexarrays, dynamic analysis with OliDebug and just running it and seeing what happens. And again, we're looking a lot at the packing obfuscation and protection because underneath that, most of the rats that we're seeing between these organizations are the same. Looking at the values that we get on these multipliers, there's no 1.75 and no 2 on this chart because we didn't see any. Most of the attacks, they start off pretty weak, and interestingly enough, over time, we can see a lot of the attacks bump up into the next multiplier higher. So a lot of the Mac malware, for example, iMuller in particular, it started off being completely unencrypted, unprotected. You can find the C2 names just by looking through the source. And then as time went on, they started encrypting it and trying to protect the internals of it to make it a little harder. For the high scores, this is actually really interesting. The technical sophistication scores, we topped out at 1.5 in everything that we saw. And these families are pretty well known to people who are into this sort of malware reverse engineering. So samples in families like PlugX, that's very well known. But they're not necessarily new. So Poison Ivy has been around for quite a long time and well documented in these types of attacks. That's also a 1.5. But the overall TTI scores, you can see that the technical sophistication on all of them is just 1.25. They have much higher targeting, and that's how these attacks actually get through and onto somebody's computer. These names are also fairly familiar if you're following malware in this area. Some are new, like Surtr, and other ones are older, like Ghostrat. It's just a matter of how are they employed and how is the hook designed to get the recipient to open it. As for FinFisher, that email from Bill's presentation, this would score a 2 on the social engineering base value, but FinFisher is also very advanced, so that would give it a multiplier of 2. So this email would actually score a 4 as opposed to some of the other ones that we've seen, which will score 5 and 6.25, because this email is not particularly convincing. So some observations based on the data we've seen. Target attacks really do rely on the social engineering to be successful. If you can't convince the recipient to double-click on the attachment, then it doesn't matter how good the malware is. It's never going to run. And this means that lower cost education methods may be just as helpful for prevention as higher cost technical methods. So NGOs that can't afford fancy firewalls and security consultants, they can instead do education campaigns based on it being a hygiene issue as opposed to a security issue, and say, detach from attachments, which is the current Tibetan campaign on how to avoid these sorts of attacks. And if they do detach from attachments, malware attacks of this sort to the Tibetan community could drop up to 95%. So some things that we want to do in the future is start applying the TTI to data from other groups and sources, because right now we are very focused on Tibetan and Chinese groups. We'd like to look into other modifiers for the TTI score. So CVSS, for example, has a temporal modifier for if it's a 0 day. So we can look into adding that sort of a modifier to the metric as well. And we're also going to be releasing a full technical report with all of our data, which includes all of our hashes and Yara signatures and binaries for people who want them. And we've been doing a lot of work on clustering the malware families and looking at their development timelines of them being improved and their relationship to other industry and government targets. So groups like APT1, we've seen attacks from them hitting civil society organizations before they go out to government and industry targets. So I'll take any clarifying questions now and then further questions in the panel.
For the ones that were so targeted you didn't want to show it, how did the user know to forward it to?
They looked at it and their first response was, hey, this is legit. And then there were things that tipped them off that something wasn't quite right. Like, why would the funder be asking for that information? Or why would the funder be sending me a document of this sort when all of our previous communication has been handled through different types of channels?
So with maybe even a bit more inside information, the attack could accommodate that too. And so there will be some sort of sampling bias for the really, really good ones.
Right. Yes, but we also do have other methods of looking for data exfiltration and known signatures. The good ones are the ones that the very experienced people kind of shake their head and go, wow, you almost got me on that one.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Algis Rodriguez, Google. How confident are you, along the same lines, that you got all of them?
At this point, for the Tibetan organizations in particular, pretty confident that we did, because we're also looking at that network traffic and seeing very obvious C2 traffic and data exfiltration. Thank you. There's no way to know for sure that 100% is ever going to be there. That's not really realistic, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Mark Filacciasi from Crisis Lab, Hungary. So, what do you think, how characteristic are the stuff you found to the organizations you are looking into? So if you'd look, for example, for more like government organizations, would you find maybe more sophisticated malware, even to a higher level?
For governments, it's possible. But if you look at, say, the APT1 reports, you can see that it's not necessarily more complicated or technically advanced. It really depends on the group that's sending the attacks. They're pretty good at figuring out what the lowest they need in order to get an attack through is, and then you don't tip your full hand right away. You throw it just high enough to get over the bar and not higher.
Okay. Thank you.
Rich Johnson, NCAR. Have you done any baseline comparisons with possible commercially motivated malware, whether targeted or not, and the same kind of scoring mechanisms, at least to compare to see what techniques and how the techniques differ?
We've thought about it, haven't really got into doing that on a large scale yet. One very, very basic observation is that financially motivated malware is ages ahead of this stuff.
Thanks.
Okay, let's thank the speaker.